Wrestling Radio, LockerRoomHQ.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's a new year and a new episode of Wrestling Radio. And I'm sure some of you are wondering, Wrestling Radio, what the heck is this? Well, this is the show we used to do all the time, talking about the world of professional wrestling on Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. However, there have been some changes the last couple months as part of the Pop Culture Network's growth, and LockerRoomHQ.com is no more. Well, actually, the URL is still there, and if you type it in, you'll still find your way to the sports section. But what has happened, basically, is we've decided that there wasn't really enough sports coverage to warrant a full sports site as part of the Pop Culture Network. So instead, wrestling is moving under the TV and movies / media banner. So now it's just pretty much part of the Pop Culture Network. There is no, I don't think there's a URL for any of the entertainment stuff. So now it's just Wrestling Radio on the Pop Culture Network. So, thanks for listening, everybody. We took some time off over the holidays, as I'm sure you noticed, and it's good to be back. It's kind of an awkward feeling to be doing this again. It's like, I don't know, dating an old girlfriend. But hopefully things will work out, and hopefully she's still hot. Now, talking about professional wrestling, a lot of things have happened over the last month, and we're not going to go over all the news. We're not going to go over every pay-per-view and every show that we missed. I mean, that would just be silly, especially because most of the time, things change so quickly in the world of professional wrestling that what seems like a lock 2 weeks ago seems incredibly different now. Case in point, WrestleMania. WrestleMania is just such up in the air right now. It's just so difficult to say what's going to happen because John Cena suffered a knee injury December 28th house show in Pennsylvania. And he was in a cage match against Wade Barrett. He took the Wasteland and then had problems getting up, couldn't put any weight on his leg. They had Wade Barrett climb back down. Cena put him in the submission move, got him to tap out, grabbed the microphone, and instead of going, "Hey, everybody, thanks for coming to the show tonight," which he usually does at a house show, instead he goes, "Hey, everybody, looks like I might be gone for a while." And if you notice, this week on Raw, he did not make an appearance. And in fact, they said that he might return next week on Raw. And more than likely, he will be returning next week on Raw to either wrestle a match because he's okay, or the injury is a lot worse than they thought, and he's going to come out and say, "Hey guys, now I really do have to take time off." So we'll see what happens there. But originally the idea was they wanted to have Wade Barrett versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania. They wanted to have The Miz versus Cena, and they wanted to have Randy Orton versus CM Punk. Those were the matches that they were shooting for. Well, now things have taken a little bit of a turn here. Wade Barrett originally was just supposed to be injured at the TLC pay-per-view. He was going to disappear for a couple weeks. He was going to appear on SmackDown for no reason, just to challenge The Undertaker. But now it looks like what may happen is Wade Barrett may end up turning face in this whole deal, being kicked out of the Nexus, having CM Punk turn against him, do a quick program with Wade Barrett versus CM Punk, and then they can move to Randy Orton versus CM Punk for WrestleMania and have Miz versus Wade Barrett. So for everybody who got real excited saying, "Wow, Miz is world champion, that changes things, it makes it feel fresh," well, you might actually get Wade Barrett as world champion, get him in that top spot, and get someone who, quite frankly, can cut a decent promo and wrestle a good match. Did I just say that? I did. I just said it. Now, it's kind of awkward that some of these matches are being set up, Miz versus Cena, Randy Orton versus CM Punk. The next two pay-per-views are the Royal Rumble and the Elimination Chamber before we get into WrestleMania. And it's kind of difficult to set up a lot of feuds between these guys just simply because they can't do one-on-one matches. So they're going to have to gimmick a lot of other stuff, work a lot of other stuff out, do a lot more on Raw to kind of push these directions. On top of that, also, one thing you need to keep in mind that when we look at WrestleMania and we look at these matches that are going into WrestleMania is that a show like the Royal Rumble originally was supposed to be the end of the Miz's title run. In fact, there was talk that it may have, in fact, have originally been slated for TLC, but more than likely, the original idea was Miz versus John Morrison at the Royal Rumble. That was the plan. The two of them were going to have their match, and I don't think John Morrison was originally scheduled to win it, but that was going to be The Miz's last pay-per-view as champion. And then at Elimination Chamber, he would just lose it in the chamber. Well, now, because he has a reality TV background, because he was on Road Rules, and was he on Real World? I'm not sure. But because he did those type shows, and then was also on Tough Enough, the media, Jimmy Fallon and, you know, whoever, George Lopez, all those type shows said, hey, this guy was a TV guy before he became a wrestling guy. So therefore, they've been booking him on the shows. He's been doing a lot of interviews. He's been getting a lot of that attention. And because he's been getting that attention, WWE wants to keep him in that spot, probably at least to WrestleMania. So that's why they're talking about Miz versus Cena at WrestleMania. So, you know, originally, John Morrison versus Miz was supposed to lead to the end of Miz's title run, and instead they blew it off this week on Raw to set up Randy Orton versus Miz. And I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work out at the Royal Rumble. I'm assuming some sort of screw job there, but we'll just have to kind of wait and see. Because again, with Cena's injury, with what's going on with Wade Barrett, everything else, it's just hard to see. Personally, I like the idea of Wade Barrett versus Undertaker at WrestleMania, but I can also see Wade Barrett going face. I'm fine with that too. You know, him getting into a small feud with CM Punk and then going after Miz. I'm fine with that either way, but that's just kind of what's happening there. And it's just, you know, again, tough enough to say. Some of the other things going on right now. Of course, Jeff Hardy is now expected to plead guilty to some of the charges against him. And while he's expected to plead guilty, there's really no word on what the plea is going to bring. Whether or not he has to do jail time, he has to do community service, he's going to have to pay a fine. If Jeff Hardy is going to have to serve jail time, they are going to have to get that TNA world title off of him ASAP. And right now, at this point in time, it's difficult to say what TNA is really planning to do. There are a lot of people that feel that TNA is really put in a difficult position here, because when Jeff Hardy was given the world championship, of course, these charges were already brought against him, and they thought, it's kind of a bad idea to give him a new title belt, go for this big push, do everything with Jeff Hardy when, you know, he's got this case going on. But there's a lot of talk, no, it'll never go to trial, no, he's, you know, will never be found guilty, he's pleading innocent, blah, blah, blah. Well, now it looks like he's pleading guilty, and they're going to have to do some explaining. Also, Reaction, TNA's secondary TV show, of course, has been canceled. The ratings for it were okay. They were, you know, they were in line with what you would expect for a show on during its time slot. But there were a couple things that kind of stood out. And one was that they had a gimmicked rating. They would have the main event from Impact actually spill over onto Reaction, which inflated Reaction's numbers quite a bit. So Reaction's ratings were higher because of the main event. And then as soon as the main event was over, the ratings for the show plummeted. They were just in the toilet. So that was kind of the first sign that the show had to go. But second of all, the show, compared to a lot of the other shows that Spike TV does, Spike TV can do a show like A Thousand Ways to Die or Mansers or, you know, whatever those shows, even the UFC shows that they do, and they can play those shows over and over and over. Reaction, you can't really replay Thursday at 2 o'clock in the morning Reaction opening in the middle of a main event match from Impact and then going into these interview segments. If it had all been the interview segments, then they actually might have stuck with it and replayed it throughout the week. But because they were doing that rollover into the Reaction time, that actually worked against the show, and it is gone. Also have word, if you're a viewer of TNA in the UK, where TNA actually is a lot more popular than it is anywhere else in the world, you should know that Sky TV does have the rights now to replay Impact. I don't have word on which network exactly it is going to be, but you are going to be able to find it there, so good thing for you there. Now, on the WWE side, though, things are still not entirely as rosy. SmackDown on Sci-Fi is down quite a bit. The rating is down, I want to say almost half of what it was a year ago on My Network TV. The main reason for this, of course, as I spoke about a couple months ago, was that sci-fi is not available in as many homes as My Network TV. My Network TV was broadcast. In fact, I could pick it up here in my hometown just with rabbit ears over the air. Sci-fi is not part of my cable package. I basically would have to double what I pay for cable. Right now I'm paying $30 a month for my cable package. I would have to pay $60 for my cable package in order to get sci-fi so that I can watch SmackDown. So instead, I have to stream it or download it or whatever. Also, part of the deal, when it was on My Network TV, it was showing up on Hulu. And I'm not sure exactly how that worked out, but now that it's on Sci-Fi, it's no longer on Hulu. And I'm not sure exactly what the deal is. In fact, it may have been taken off Hulu when it switched from CW to My Network TV. I'm not exactly sure when it left Hulu. I just know that a couple years ago, when I didn't have cable TV at all, I could just stream it off of Hulu whenever I felt like it, along with ECW and whatever the other WWE show was at the time. Superstars, Velocity, I don't remember what it was. So anyway, that's no longer an option. So SmackDown is actually going to a lot less eyes now that it's on Sci-Fi, and it's really hurting their viewership. So we'll just have to kind of wait and see. The Raw is replayed on... there's some HD channel. It gets Universal HD. It also shows up on one of the Spanish language channels. SmackDown doesn't get any of that, so hopefully they can find another outlet for SmackDown, get it in front of some more eyes, but right now it is just not looking very good for that show. I don't think it's going to get canceled or anything like that, don't get me wrong, but still, just not a great deal there. Shad Gaspard, part of a Crime Time, I couldn't think of their tag team there for a minute. He's actually signed on now to appear in a movie called Untouchable. He's going to be, former soldier from the Middle East who's now a bodyguard. And I'm not sure if this is the starring role or if he's the bodyguard for the star or how exactly this is working out. But when they moved him back to Florida Championship Wrestling, he quit to become an actor, and he's got his first role here. So good for him. Also, Awesome Kong has signed with WWE. The latest word I've gotten is that they are planning to push her as a monster, at least at the beginning. But with it being WWE, there's no doubt that, at some point down the line, probably in about 3 months or whatever, just like Sweeney Hollick has predicted on her message board, she might get that Aunt Jemima gimmick. They might bring her into Shelton Benjamin's aunt or girlfriend or something, even though he's been released. I'm still going for the Shelton Benjamin joke. So anyway, that's just kind of some of the news and stuff going on right now. If there's anything in particular you want to talk about, want to know about, any questions, feel free to stop by the forum at popculturenetwork.com, or shoot me an email, dirt@popculturenetwork.com, and I'll do my best to answer them on the next episode, hopefully coming sometime this weekend when I can get my hands on a copy of SmackDown to talk about that show. But for now, let's talk about Raw. It was an okay show. I didn't think it was great, but I didn't feel like it was terrible. It wasn't the worst show I've seen in a long time, but it was all right. There were some interesting things on there. And let me see here. I have notes, which, of course, now that I'm standing here and I'm recording, can't find my notes on Raw. So let's go ahead and take a quick break now. I've got a song here from Nathan, I believe it is. He sent me a song for Wrestling Radio. This is something he found on the internet. So I'm going to play this quick song for you guys. And then when we come back, we will talk about Monday Night Raw.
Do you, Hulk Hogan, want your ideas, your beliefs? In this normal world,
for even the ultimate warrior cannot. cannot control the course of past events, events that happened in the waste of time.
The brain wave in my mind that the warrior speak to is of an unknown frequency. The brain wave in my mind.
Oh, Colgan, you are all the late victory for the ultimate warrior!
I'm almost speechless after listening to that thing. That is fantabulous. Thank you, Nathan, for sending that in. Remember, if you guys, you find any music you want us to play on the show, just go ahead and send it to dirt@popculturenetwork.com. All right, let's talk about Monday Night Raw a little bit. Show opened with Michael Cole talking about John Cena not being able to be there because he was attacked by CM Punk and because of the match. Although, should be noted that they announced that John Cena was attacked at a show in Pennsylvania. They didn't mention that it was in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, because Wilkes-Barre is not a big enough town to admit that you did a show in. Keep that in mind. They had a Falls Count Anywhere match to open the show, Miz versus John Morrison. This was supposed to be the Royal Rumble match for the title, and instead they decided to do it for free on TV here and go in a different direction for the pay-per-views. So there you go. Because it was Falls Count Anywhere, they had Alex Riley, attack John Morrison in the middle of this match, get involved. And John Morrison, I'll have to say, he didn't look, I don't think, quite as good in this match as he did last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. But he looked, how can I put this? Technically, he looked fabulous. I don't think he sold necessarily very well. I don't think the psychology of the match was all that great. But he did a running, shining wizard onto Alex Riley, who was sitting on top of the barricades at ringside. That looked fantastic. He did the the Starship Pain to the outside off of the turnbuckle through a table, and it looked, I mean, it looked painful as hell. I mean, it looked like that was a move he's going to feel for a while. But he did it very, very well. And so I have to say, technically, he looked very good, although I don't think the match was really put together all that well. And it basically ended with him going through the table after the Miz moved inexplicably. And Miz hit him with the skull-crushing finale and got the pin. And people have been arguing, was that a clean win for The Miz? Was it not? It was not. It was a gimmick match. Doesn't really count the same as a one-on-one. And also, they had Miz just kick out of stuff. In any other match, John Morrison hits the Starship Pain. That's the finisher. That's the end of the match. He hit the Starship Pain. Miz kicked out. They would do giant moves. He climbed up on the big W, you know, on the front of the set on Raw and jumped off onto Miz and Alex Riley. And then they just kept on wrestling. Like, that was early on in the match. That wasn't even, you know, a later thing. So they hit a bunch of stuff way too early. They did a lot of goofy, kind of over-the-top big moves. And then just kicked out of them and kept going. And so I felt kind of overall the match wasn't really all that great, but they basically had Miz, you know, he got the win, skull-crushing finale. I still don't think he gets any credibility out of it because of everything else that happened in that match, and it still doesn't help to, you know, no one's really looking at it. Well, he beat John Morrison in a Falls Count Anywhere match, so that means he's now a credible champion. No, I don't think anybody is looking at it like that. But they went backstage. They had an interview with Miz talking about how awesome he is to win. And they had Alex Riley back there talking about how awesome Miz is. So the big move that knocked out Alex Riley, made the trainers and EMTs come down and carry him off, apparently was only so bad he had to be carried off. But then 5 minutes later, he was fine. They had a women's match. Eve Torres, Brie Bella, Natalya versus Melina, Alicia Fox, and Maryse. And they did the everything you can think of. They did the Bella Switch. They did, everybody got some kind of hot tag or whatever. Every girl was in the ring. It really kind of covered up the fact how bad the women's division has gotten because no one was really in there more than like 2 minutes. They basically had Eve hit the neck breaker on Melina, get the pin, and nice little pop from the crowd. Fun little energetic match. Again, not great. Not really even good, but the fact that they swapped everybody out so quick just kind of kept them fresh and kind of kept everything going. This next segment, this was the... I don't even know how to explain the thought process behind this next segment. We had Santino, Kozlov, and what's-her-face, Tamina, come out, and the Usos are already in the ring. So Usos in the ring get no entrance. When you come back from a commercial break, that's usually a sign that these guys are getting jobbed out in 2 minutes. So they had Kozlov and Santino come out, and they do a match, and it went on way too long. They had way too much time. This was not a two-minute squash. This actually went on and on and on and on. Did a lot of heat building, did a hot tag, stuff that didn't make sense in having, you know, the Usos already out there not getting their entrance. They had Kozlov back against the rope. One of the Usos came up to clothesline him over the top rope, and he didn't make it over. Usually what you do is if you can't make it over, you back up. The guy against the rope will just drop to the ground, roll out through the bottom, and the other guy just kind of jumps after him. Or you hit him with another move, you pick him up, you throw him against the rope, and you try a second time. Well, instead, Kozlov didn't make it over, so he just stopped. And the Uso, whoever it was, tried to push him over again, and he didn't quite make it over. And they stopped, and they reset, and they tried a third time, and that time Kozlov just kind of flipped over, fell to the outside, the Uso followed him out. It was the most awkward, like even the commentary guys are going like, what the heck is happening here? What are we even watching? And it was just a really, really bad, poorly done spot. Just looked terrible. So then, of course, Santino ends up going for the Cobra, but one of the Usos, the other Uso, grabbed him, dropped him in a Samoan drop, and got the pin. So the two guys who didn't get the entrance got the win. So I guess they're going to get a shot at the tag titles, right? Because they ended on a high note. They got a win over these guys. But instead, Kozlov, Santino, Tamina, recover. They get back in the ring. Kozlov and Tamina, Santino and Tamina do the Cobra, and they both knock out the other Usos and job them out like chumps. So Usos get no entrance because they're going to get squashed, except they don't get squashed and they got the pin, so they look powerful, but they don't look powerful because they get squashed after the match by Santino and Tamina. And the Usos bumped for the Cobra, especially from Tamina, who technically just learned the move and should... Whatever. I mean, this whole segment just didn't make any sense. Commercial, come back, CM Punk comes down to the ring. He talks about how he tried to find John Cena but couldn't find him, of course, because he beat the crap out of him, and that's why John Cena's not there. He said, hustle, loyalty, respect is a catchphrase for Cena that he doesn't live up to, but it's what CM Punk does, it's what Nexus does, etc. Wade Barrett comes out, says, I'm the one who actually took John Cena out, and I'm actually the one who's in charge of Nexus. So you can't be the one who's in charge of Nexus, blah, 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 blah. This made the general manager ding, and the general manager said that one of those two guys, either Barrett or CM Punk, would be in a triple threat match versus Randy Orton and Sheamus in a steel cage to determine the number one contender. Wade Barrett said he would do the match. CM Punk said, that's fine, you go ahead and do that match, but if you lose that match, not only do you lose the number one contendership, but you're also out of Nexus. And Wade Barrett said, that's fine. So you knew some sort of screw job was coming later. Why it's a triple threat match? I don't know. Why it wasn't a steel cage? I don't know. As far as, you know, booking a feud, neither of those makes any sort of sense right here, but sure enough, that's what they did, just so they could have CM Punk and Wade Barrett have a moment later on in the show. They probably just thought of a cool spot. Oh, if we do a cage, and blah, 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 blah. So then they just kind of set everything else up to make it happen. They had Alberto Del Rio versus R-Truth. Del Rio cut a promo. It was actually pretty good, of course. He was going to be great on SmackDown, destroy everybody. Here comes R-Truth. Says he's going to beat the crap out of him, send him back to SmackDown. They had a fine little match. But really what it came down to was the ending of the match. I think in the match had energy. The match looked pretty good. Alberto Del Rio is a guy who's, you know, great on facials. He used to be in a mask. They took him out of the mask because they knew he had great facials and he needs that to, you know, get over the matches. And, you know, R-Truth, I think, is an underused talent. He's actually pretty good. The two of them had a match here. But the problem came at the end. Del Rio put R-Truth in the armbar. And usually on SmackDown, he puts somebody in the armbar and the guy taps out in, you know, like 5 seconds. He puts R-Truth in this armbar and R-Truth fights it. And he fights it and 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 finally taps out. So either R-Truth has the upper arm strength of Sylvester Stallone in Over the Top, or he just kind of forgot that, oh yeah, by the way, nowadays submissions go pretty quick. So I'm not sure exactly what happened there, but it just kind of made, if nothing else, it makes everyone else on SmackDown look like chumps. You know, R-Truth is now suddenly stronger and better and has a higher, you know, pain threshold than everybody else on SmackDown because he can wait a while before tapping out, whereas all those guys have to tap out almost immediately. So I'm not sure exactly if that was done for a particular reason or R-Truth just wasn't paying attention or, you know, what happened. But that just kind of seemed a little silly. We had Wade Barrett backstage with Nexus. Just kind of ran down CM Punk, said, you guys don't need him, you need me. CM Punk came in. They just kind of agreed to the stips that they'd agreed to earlier. And CM Punk watched as Wade Barrett left to go to the ring, and then he turned around to the Nexus guys, shook hands with all of them, or did a fist bump or something. I don't remember exactly what it was. But basically, all of Nexus is on CM Punk's side, not on Wade Barrett's. They had the cage match. Randy Orton, Sheamus, Wade Barrett. Randy Orton, he's still injured. He still moves a little slow. So they, putting him in this triple threat match, kept the energy high. Wade Barrett, Sheamus, they both moved pretty quick, kept things going. Did a pretty good job. They did a lot of stuff. Usually what happens is they have a guy who climbs to the top of the cage, and when it looks like he's getting ready to climb to the other side and make it free, instead he turns around, hits a big move. Maybe he'll hit it, maybe he'll miss, but then the match goes several more minutes where the guy could have just left and won. They only had one real moment that was kind of like that, where Randy Orton was, he had them open the cage door, he was getting ready to leave, suddenly he realized both the other guys were up. And so he turned around and dropped into the Viper position to hit him with RKOs when he could have made a dive through the middle rope to the outside and won the match. But he didn't do that. I guess the idea was he didn't think he'd be able to make it out in time, and he was at least smart enough to be able to turn around and drop and catch the guy. So that was fine. Excuse me. But again, they didn't have a lot of those that usually happen in these big cage matches. So overall, I thought the cage match came across as really good. Eventually what happened is both guys were down, and Wade Barrett, doing his one cage match mistake, instead of opening the door and climbing out, decides to climb over the top to the outside. He had both the other guys down, so really, he should have just walked out the door. He didn't. He goes to climb over the top, and he's getting up to the top, and he's having a hard time, you know, grasping the apparatus at the top of the cage, the steel beams that are up there, and down runs CM Punk. Not all of Nexus, just CM Punk. CM Punk runs down and climbs up to the top of the cage on the outside, and he reaches over and he reaches for Wade Barrett's hand. Wade Barrett sits for a minute, and he thinks about it, and finally he reaches up to grab CM Punk's hand, and CM Punk instead reaches past his hand, grabs the Nexus armband on Wade Barrett's arm, rips it off, and knocks Wade Barrett back down inside the ring and leaves. So, Wade Barrett now officially kicked out of Nexus. And this can either lead to CM Punk and Wade Barrett doing something at the Royal Rumble, or this could lead to Wade Barrett leaving, you know, getting quote-unquote fired from Raw, ending up on SmackDown and taking on The Undertaker, doing whatever deal if they want to do that with him. If they want to turn him face, to have him face off against The Miz at WrestleMania, they can start that journey now with him saying, I got screwed out of the Nexus, him taking on CM Punk, him realizing the error of his ways, etc., etc., etc. So, who knows what's going to happen with all that. They could, if you wanted to have a good moment to have Wade Barrett turn, they should do a segment with Daniel Bryan, talk about the fact that he was there that first night, he got fired, he fought his way back, have some sort of confrontation with Daniel Bryan and Nexus, have Wade Barrett come out, they expect him to attack Daniel Bryan, make his case to rejoin Nexus, and instead attacks Nexus, and he and Daniel Bryan clear him out, boom, he's face. They could do something like that. That would be cool. That would play into all of those storylines, continue everything down, because being kicked out of Nexus is basically, more or less, storyline-wise, what turned Daniel Bryan into a good guy. So, it would make sense to do it the same way with Wade Barrett and have those two play off of each other. But anyway, eventually what happened is Wade Barrett knocked down. When he got up, Sheamus hit him with the brogue kick. Orton gave Sheamus the RKO. And then at this point, this would be the point where Randy Orton normally would try to climb the cage, and one of the guys would get up to try to stop him. There'd be whatever. But instead, Randy Orton, being injured, being tired and slow, just kind of turned, had them open the door, walked out, and that was that. So, the match overall was pretty good. Again, I liked, you know, Randy Orton just kind of looking around and being like, screw it, open the door, I'm leaving, because that's what you'd want to do in a cage match. Amazingly enough, CM Punk knocking Wade Barrett back to the inside got a pop, and everybody was like, yay, Wade Barrett, he's screwed. But of course, he got screwed by another heel. So him getting screwed and getting a pop was fine, and I think they can easily turn it around next week and have him be a face with no problem. So that's basically what happened on Raw. And again, a lot of weird stuff going on. It's hard to say where everything's going to end up at WrestleMania because of injuries and on-agains and off-agains. And I'm still seeing here that Undertaker is, at this point, still considered a 50-50 possibility for WrestleMania. So even if they want to do Wade Barrett versus Undertaker, there's no guarantee Undertaker is going to be ready. So a lot of tough stuff going on here. The Royal Rumble is going to be a pretty good indicator, of course, because whoever wins the Rumble match, you know, gets that guaranteed spot. My question is, who do you A, think is going to win it, and B, who do you want to win it? Honestly, I'd like to see Alberto Del Rio win it, just so he can win the title at WrestleMania, because I'd like to see him as world champion. But who's gonna win it? You know, I don't know. I don't know if Randy Orton is going to win it, or if they're gonna have Miz lose the title to Randy Orton, then re-enter into the Royal Rumble, then win the Royal Rumble, so it would be him versus Randy Orton if they're going to mix it up some way like that. But I kind of see something hokey and just kind of, yeah, I saw that coming a thousand miles away happening at the Royal Rumble. But again, I would really like to see Alberto Del Rio win that one. What do you think? Stop by the forums at popculturenetwork.com. Let us go to the pro wrestling section, which is now under the media section with TV and movies, and let us know what you think about who should win and who is going to win, and we'll talk about that probably on next week's show. And again, we'll do another show after SmackDown if I can get my hands on a copy of it. Maybe I'll have someone DVR it, I'll watch it at their house, whatever. But thanks for listening, everybody. Don't forget, if you want to leave us a voicemail, you can call area code 217-953-4025. That's our 24-hour voicemail line. Or you can shoot me an email, dirt@popculturenetwork.com. Again, stop by the forums, comment on this post, stop by our Podbean podcast page, whatever you want to do. Find out some way to communicate. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, guys, and I'll talk to you next time.